Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 703, we'll be reading the first 10 verses of the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. The book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. The 10th verse is the text verse. We'll read the first 10 verses of this 10th chapter responsively, and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offences. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let's pray. And thanks, dear Lord, for our Bibles. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for this great nation of ours and the freedom that we have to gather in this very place. And as we gather, help us to do it with purpose, purpose of heart and purpose of mind. Give us attentiveness to that which the Spirit saith through our preacher, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Allow me and my folly this morning to be a little bit more personal than usual. I want to read one verse to you. You don't have to turn to it again. This is my text verse this morning. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength, or put forth more strength. I want to speak this morning on the subject, if the iron be blunt, he must put forth more strength. Our Heavenly Father, we come today once again, same behind the same pulpit where I've stood for 30 years, asking you to give us the same power you've given us for these 30 years. We come with the same book, with the same Holy Spirit, with the same Savior, with the same gospel, with the same message of truth and deliverance. Bless us in a very special way, in Jesus' name, amen. 30 years ago, last night, I did not sleep a wink. 30 years ago, last night, was my last night to sleep as pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. Now, up until then, I'd been there about 6 years and 8 months. I had seen that little church grow from a handful of people to the fastest growing church in the world. We had seen a few people, two or three, four dozen people, become thousands in membership. And God had led us to come to Hammond, Indiana. That night, the last night, we had already had our furniture shipped up, and we stayed in a little motel called the Pink Motel, the only motel in those days that Garland, Texas had. We stayed there as a family in the Pink Motel that night. But I could not sleep. My heart was broken. I got up, went out in the car and drove around all night long. I drove to the houses of my people and sat out in front of those houses and prayed for them and cried. I'd drive to somebody else's house. I'd park in front of their house. I'm talking about 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And sit out there and weep. Most of those people I'd won to Christ myself. Those days I didn't travel a great deal. And most of those people were my babes in Christ. Next morning, I preached at Miller Road Baptist Church, the last sermon I'd preached there. We were supposed to go back that night to preach. But Ms. Hiles and I and the children could not go back. I simply could not say goodbye. They came that night expecting me to be there, and I was gone. We went out to eat with some folks named Minton. After that, our family left Garland, really where I'd grown up in the ministry. I went there at the age of 25 and left at the age of 32. It's really where I'd really had my first major success in the Lord's work. The church was known across the land and around the world. We took off and we drove out to the city limits of Garland. And 30 years ago, this afternoon, about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, I stopped the car at the city limits sign. And I knelt at the city limits sign. Mrs. Hiles and all we had was three children then. We had Dave and Becky and Linda. We were expecting Cindy at the time. And I knelt there with a city limit sign. And I looked at that city, 27,000 people at the time. And I looked at the city and cried uncontrollably. And I said, these hands, these knuckles right here, have knocked on every door in that city during the 6 years and 8 months. At that time, one family out of every seven in the city of Garland were members of Miller Road Baptist Church, Garland, Texas. A miracle. We left for Hammond. For 30 years, as pastor of this church, I've watched a miracle. I've watched the most amazing thing, perhaps, in the history of the New Testament church. Certainly in the history of fundamentalism in America, transpire for these 30 years. Let me tell you something this morning in a very personal way about this fellow who speaks to you and who for 30 years has pastored this great church. I was flying into Columbus, Georgia the other day. Columbus, Georgia is near Fort Benning, Georgia. And in flying down into Columbus, we flew over Fort Benning. I could not see everything. I thought I might could see the hangar where we packed the parachutes, but I wasn't sure. But I remembered my days there as a paratrooper. If you had asked the people in my neighborhood where I grew up, if you had asked them when I was a teenage boy to choose the least likely boy in the school or the church or the neighborhood to be a paratrooper, they would have chosen Jack Hiles. They would have put me on the bottom of the list under all the boys in school and most of the girls. I was the smallest kid in the school and in the church while I was growing up. And yet, I became a paratrooper. Nobody believed it. I came back home on furlough and they saw me in paratroop outfit, they thought I'd borrowed the outfit from somebody else. They couldn't believe it. May I tell you why I became a paratrooper? Because if the iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. If the iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. I looked down and saw what I thought was about where I was made my first run. I was sick that morning, had 103 fever or temperature, and was throwing up. But I wanted to be a paratrooper. I was going to be a paratrooper. I don't care what they say, I was going to be a paratrooper. I started out with 1,100 men in a four-week training course. Please look at me and don't write while I'm preaching. I wish you'd look right at me. I want you to look. I won't preach to you, not lecture to you. in the top of your head is not very pretty. Mine, I know, is not. But I'm saying that I was going to be a paratrooper. Regardless, I was going to be a paratrooper. 1,100 men started the four-week training, and 309 finished. But I was one of the ones that finished. That first day, ran a mile. Second day, 2 miles. Third day, 3 miles. Fourth day, 4 miles. And five and six and seven on to the 10th day. Ran 10 miles without stopping with combat boots on, up and down hills and on highways. I made the second day okay, the 2 miles, and all on to 10 miles. And after that, we ran 10 miles every day. But the first day, I was sick, and I fell out about 100 feet from the end of the course. I fell face down in my own vomit. I was awakened by the kick of a sergeant kicking me in the ribs, who said, "Soldier, when we quit running in this outfit, we crawl." And vomiting and crawling in my vomit, I crawled the rest of the way to the finish line. You know why? Because I was going to become a paratrooper. You see, if the iron is blunt, you put forth more strength. If you're not the one that's going to do it naturally, you put forth more strength. I looked down and I saw the other day in Fort Benning, I saw the place where I thought this happened, about where I thought it happened. They put me in a hospital. We finished the training, and they're going to ship us out to our 82nd Airborne Division. And put us in a hospital. Put me in a hospital. I had a curvature of my spine. I think it was yellow. I'm not sure when I stood in the door of the airplane. But I was like this. Well, I won't go into that. But anyway, my mind is running wild this morning. We may never get out of here. But anyway, they said, "You got something wrong with your spine. Down at the end of your spine, there's something wrong. There's a malformation, a curvature down there. We can't ship you out. We find out what's wrong with you. You can't be a paratrooper if you got real serious trouble like that." But I was going to be a paratrooper. My outfit was shipping out. They had the truck out in the front. They were shipping out. During the night, my outfit shipped out. I tied the sheets together out the window of the hospital and crawled down those sheets and took off to the barracks and got my duffel bag. I'm not talking about my wife. I wasn't married at the time. And I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I got my duffel bag. But anyway, I got on the truck. Never asked anybody. To this day, I don't know what's wrong with my spine. I was going to be a paratrooper. Now, I wasn't the one likely to be a paratrooper, but I learned something. I learned if the iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. That means if you don't have as much as others, you work harder than others, and you put forth more strength. If they'd voted, when I was a kid preacher, growing up in Texas, if my church or my school had voted for the young man least likely to be a preacher, if they'd said somebody in the senior class. I think about 400 in the senior class when I graduated. If somebody in the senior class is going to be a preacher, if they had voted on the least likely one, I'd have won hands down. Nobody ever thought that little Jackie Boy Howells would be a preacher. But there's one thing they didn't know. You can measure how tall a fella is, and you can measure how much a fella weighs, but you can't measure the grit he's got in his heart. You can't measure that. And I was going to do it. I mean, I just was going to do it. When I went to college the first year at Arlington Branch of the Texas University, I took five courses, all of them in speech and public speaking. Five courses, all of them speech and public speaking. The dean called me in at the end of the first semester. He said to me, "Mr. Hiles, we have the results of your first semester in college." I said, "What are they?" He said, "A plumber maybe, an electrician perhaps, a preacher never." But you see, you can't judge in a speech class what's in the heart of a fellow. I mean, if I can't speak very well, I'll just swing harder. If the axe or the iron be blunt, I'll put forth more strength. You see, I was never very, and don't say amen to this, but I was never very sharp intellectually. That's one reason why I fit so well around here. But I was never very sharp intellectually. I never have been a Wendell Evans and an intellect. I've never been a Jim Jorgensen. I've never been a Mark Rasmussen. Everything I've ever gotten, I've scraped and scrapped and clawed and gnawed to get it. And that's the way I've gotten here. And I'm saying that because I didn't have the sharp intellect of others, if I'm going to build a church, if I'm going to have a great ministry, if I'm going to do something big for God, I'm going to have to put forth more strength. If the iron be blunt, the writer said, you've got to put forth more strength. And I want to say something. Anybody in this room can succeed. Anybody in this room can succeed. But you say, I'm not very smart, then put forth more strength. But you say, I'm poor, then put forth more strength. But you say, I'm not very strong physically, then put forth more strength. I'm simply saying, if the iron be blunt, put forth more strength. That's exactly what I'm talking about, what God's talking about here. I was never very strong physically, never was. And when I was a kid, never very strong physically. And yet, I had to put forth more strength. When I joined the paratroopers, do you know that they made me do 25 push-ups with my right hand? I had to do 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back. Now it's changed to where the full field pack is on my front. But I had to do 90 push-ups with 90-pound full field pack on my back. You say, preacher, could you do it? No, I couldn't do it, but I did it. Couldn't do it, but I did it. Yeah. Why? Tell you why. If the iron be blunt, put forth more strength. I'm not a natural leader. Never have been. I don't like to lead. I don't like to be the boss. I don't like it at all. Somebody said, a few folks have been talking about, Hammond Times had an article about this is a cult here, which is a dirty, blasphemous lie, like all the other dirty, blasphemous lies that a bunch of liars are spreading across the country. So it's not a cult. It's a New Testament church. That's what it is. And the first thing you got to have when you have a cult, you've got to have a leader that wants to slay and enslave people or capture people. As Dr. Evans said yesterday, a cult is supposed to separate young people from their parents. And bless God, there's not an institution in America that unites young people or their parents any more than First Baptist Church of Hammond does. I'm saying that by nature, I'm not a leader. I don't like to lead. I go to my office time and time again and cry after I've had to say something or scold somebody, maybe. Or on the staff, I don't want to do it. I don't like to do it. I don't like to be a leader. But to build a New Testament church and be a preacher, I've got to be. So what do? You just put forth more strength, that's all. If the intellectual iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. If the leadership iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. If the physical iron be blunt, you put forth more strength. I say again, anybody in this house can succeed if you'll put forth more strength. That's the great secret. Somebody said, what's the secret to success? It's no secret at all. Everybody knows it. It's W-O-R-K. It's S-W-E-A-T. It's getting up early and staying up late and working while you're up. I'm simply saying, you don't have to be a failure. You can succeed. But you said to the house, I don't have the talent. That doesn't matter. Okay, then put forth more strength. But I'm not strong, and I'm not. The young lady says, I'm not beautiful. Then put forth more strength. Hey, young man says, I'm not very handsome. Then put forth more strength. I'm not a natural fighter. I don't like to fight. I really don't. I told Brother Roloff many times. I said, you like to fight. I don't. You want to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I want to be in the Guinness Book of Records. I don't really like to fight. But you said, well, how don't you have to fight? I know I have to fight. I'm going to fight, Backracky. I'm fighting now. I don't like it. Well, you say, well, how you doing? How can you win a fight? I'll tell you how. Nobody is going to put forth more strength in a fight than I. I told you years ago when I was a kid, everybody picked on me. I was the run of the class. When I was in fifth and sixth grade, everybody picked on me. And walking home from school, their pleasure was to whip me every day. And they'd flip a coin to see who whipped me the next afternoon. And one day, I decided to get me an equalizer. I got me a brick. And I put chips in the middle of that brick and tied a rope around the middle of that brick. I just carried it with me home from school every day. I called it the equalizer. Nobody messed with me. Because one day I throwed that brick. I took that brick like that and I hit that guy in the back. And I got more respect from then on
By the way, America would get some respect if she'd hit somebody in the back about these hostages right now. But I'm saying, I never was strong. I never was a natural leader. I never was a natural fighter. But by the grace of God, I was not going to be a flop in life. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. You say, preacher, if I don't have the natural ability, what do? You put forth more strength. If I don't have the natural looks, what do? You put forth more strength. If I don't have the natural talent, what do? You put forth more strength. I'm not a natural public speaker. I'm not. I flunked public speaking in high school. And it's the thing that kept me off the National Honor Society. And I'm not a natural public speaker, but it so happens that to be a preacher, you got to be a public speaker. That's a part of it. Somebody said, boy, you feel at home on the platform, don't you? I sure do. I feel more home right here, right now, than you ladies feel in your kitchen. I do. I'm at home. But you say, it's just a natural gift. Natural gift, nothing. It's natural sweat. I worked at it. I said, I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to be a speaker. Listen, if I can't tell a bunch of good stuff, I can scream and holler. What I lack in content, I can make up for in beating the fire out of the pulpit, I guarantee you. Oh, let me tell you, you don't have to flop. You don't have to be a failure. I don't care who you are. If you've got talent, good. If you don't, put forth more strength. If you've got physical ability, good. If you don't, put forth more strength. That's the secret. If the iron be blunt, put forth more strength. Some could take vacations and do it. I couldn't. I had to put forth more strength than others. Some could take days off and succeed. I couldn't. I had to put forth more strength than others. Some can speak extemporaneously. I don't even know the meaning of the word. I can't. So I have to put forth more strength. Some have by nature a winsome personality. I don't. I'm an introvert. Really, up here, not. But personally, I'm an introvert. Always have been. I'm a loner. I'm shy. By nature, I'm shy. And this amazing, beautiful, gorgeous personality that you see before you is not natural. Well, you say, what did you do? I put forth more strength. Oh, I'd like to talk today to that little guy walking the halls of Hammond Baptist High School in the fall, who's the runt of the class and the guy that folks laugh at and make fun and pick on. I'd like to tell you, by the grace of God, you can succeed. I'd like to tell that little wife who doesn't have the beauty that some others do. Your husband's prone to look somebody some other way for beauty. You don't have, I'll tell you what you can do. You learn to make the best pecan pie in the world. You learn to make the best peach cobbler that has ever been made. You break the world's record of making banana puddings. And you learn how to kiss like nobody else in the world can kiss. I mean, you learn how to hug like nobody can hug, and you learn all the sweet, pretty words, and you say, with the grace of God, what I lack in beauty, and many of you do, but what I lack in beauty, you say, I'll put forth more strength. I'm saying, you don't have to be a flaw. You don't have to be a failure. You can succeed, but you're not going to do it, most of us, unless we put forth more strength. If the iron be blunt, put forth more strength. I've had to scrape and scrap and claw and dig because by nature, this is not my talent. In the battle I'm in right now, you know who you know what preachers are sticking with me across America? Not the Cadillac preachers. Not the Lincoln Continental preachers. The Ford and Chevrolet and Plymouth preachers. That's the one sticking with me right now. You know why? Because that's the crowd I've encouraged through these years. That's the crowd I've said, you suave Cadillac preachers. I've said to little preachers across the country, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You know who's sticking beside me in this battle across the nation? Not the designer models, preachers, but the Kmart guys. And that's the crowd makes the country. Not these suave fellows who got to have 75 amens at the end of their prayer. Not these suave fellows got to preach in their kimonos and gowns. Not these suave fellows who think they're big shots and the culture refined fellows. I like what Brother Fogel said yesterday. I can't tell you all he said, but we were talking about a certain guy. I won't tell you who it was, but he said, preacher, why didn't you know about him all along? He said, the first time I ever saw him, I knew he'd been to the opera. I have no idea what he means by that. But that's what he said. I mean, I'm not against the opera. I like it. I was down in Nashville and saw it one time. And I love them cultured opera singers. Roy Acuff, my soul. And I'm not against opera. But I'm simply saying the kind of guy that gets the job done for God is the scrapper and the worker and the fellow who says, my iron is not as sharp as it ought to be. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the looks. I don't have the strength. But I've got an axe, and if it's not as sharp as somebody else's axe, I'll just swing it harder. That's what I'll do. And that's the guy that gets the job done for God. Preachers that are sticking for me right now, I knock the steak and lobster crowd. It's a hamburger meat crowd. McDonald's crowd. And bless God, that's what's upsetting some of these steak and lobster fellas. Because there are more of us McDonald's people than there are the steak and lobster people. That's why they're upset. That's why they're crying. And by the grace of God, I'd like for somebody to deliver us from that people, big crowd of folks that call themselves fundamentalists, who are nothing more than a bunch of highbrow snobs, and get back to mourner's bench, altar call, old-fashioned Billy Sunday kind of Christianity in America. I'm simply saying, if the iron be brought, put forth more strength and you can succeed. Yes, you can. That's when I've been sort of the champion. They look at me, they look at R.G. Lee, these preachers out the forks of the creeks from Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, Possum Trot, Texas, Mule Shoe, Tennessee. They look at R.G. Lee and say, oh boy, no way I could do that. They look at Lee Robertson and say, I could never be that. They look at John Rice, I could never be that smart. They look at me and say, if he can do it, anybody ought to be able to do it. That's exactly true. You see, I didn't do mine with vocabulary. I didn't do mine with a brilliant mind. I didn't do mine with a strong physique and body. I didn't do mine with a fair countenance. I did not do mine with forensic ability. I did mine with blood and sweat and tears and work. That's the way. And anybody can do it that way. Most of you are like me. Most of you are what I've been these 30 years. Some of you are not as talented as others. Then swing harder. Make up the difference. Some of you by nature are not leaders. Then swing harder. Make up the difference. Some of you are less educated. You don't have a PhD. You don't have a master's degree. You don't have a university degree. Wasn't your privilege. You grew up in poverty. Nobody counseled with you that you could make it through school. You know, I love these students at Howells Anderson College that go through on nothing. They just swing harder. They starve us to death, but they swing harder. I like this little guy that walks into school. Like Brother Roloff did. You know Brother Roloff went to college, what he had with him? He had his cow. Can you imagine a student walking in the receiving the registration line at Howells Anderson College, the old bossy behind him, took his cow. Can you imagine how those PhDs laugh when they saw that new freshman coming in here? Yeah, those PhDs they'd finished with their preaching, and when Lester was preaching to great crowds of people, took his cow. Why? Milked his way through college. I mean, just got a hole and milked his way through college. That's what gets the job done. Oh, my soul, I say I don't care. It may be that you're less educated, then swing harder. It may be that you're not as attractive as others, then swing harder. It may be that you're poor. Maybe you're a bus kid, swing harder. It'd be a tragedy for some of these bus kids to turn out better than some of our First Baptist drive-in kids. But I'll tell you what, kids, you can do it. You'll swing harder. Maybe to you that nothing's ever come easy to me. Never has. Nothing. I couldn't have been valedictorian of the senior class. Good night. I tried to escape the other end. I never was. I mean, I algebra. I'd like to find the fellow who invented it. I'd kill him. I spent 8 years looking for X and found Y. Took trigonometry. Was on a tangent all the way through the thing. I'm simply saying that nothing's ever come easy. But by cracky, it doesn't have to come easy if you'll swing harder.
Some of you are poor. Some of you are face opposition. Some of you young people who came on the bus this morning, you'll go home to find a stick against your body this afternoon. You'll go home to find cursing. You're afraid to go home. Some of you are going to go home to daddies who'll molest you and try to commit incest with you. You don't live in one of the nice houses in South Hammond or Maryville. Your family doesn't drive a nice car. You ride the old bus. You've never known a new dress of your own. You never had a new pair of shoes bought just for you. You're just a little bus kid. But I want to tell you, by the grace of God Almighty, you can succeed. I used to sit as a little boy, teenager, but little boy, in a little hovel of an apartment as a teenager. I knew God was calling me to preach, but I wouldn't surrender. Because I knew, first place, I knew everybody would laugh at me if I walked down the aisle. The second place, I didn't think I could do it. I graduated from high school, still wouldn't surrender. While I was waiting in between the high school and the army, I pitched softball. They hired me gave me a job at Dallas Railway and Terminal Company so I could pitch softball for their team. I didn't have to do any work much, but could just pitch softball for their softball team. They put me in the parts department just to stay and do a little work. Every day a black man came in at noon delivering from the Mack Truck Parts Company. And that black man, I found, was a Christian. He and I used to have lunch together and read and study the Bible together and pray together every day at noon. One day that black man came in and he was crying uncontrollably. And he had the accent of the old black, southern black, well, southern white too for that matter. He had the old accent. He came in, I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Mr. Jack." He said, "I just heard something. I heard that Dr. George W. Truett has died." Dr. Truett was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, then the largest Baptist church in the world, for over 40 years. He said, "Mr. Jack, God done told me you're going to take his place." And I said, "You kidding me, man?" He said, "No, God done told me you're going to take his place. And God used that old black man to get me in the ministry." And I went out alone, and I said, "Dear God, what can I do? I'm just one little fella. Just one little guy. I can't make a speech. I'm not real strong. What can I do?" I'd sit there as unknown, and I'd say, one guy like me couldn't make a difference. I said, "Tell you what I can't do. I can give my God all I have and all I am." And I gave it to him. And on this closing Sunday, next week I start my 31st year. But as far as Sundays are concerned, I finish my 30 years today. May I be a little vain, and may I thank God and praise him. That little boy that nobody thought would make it in any area. Let me be vain for a minute. And don't be critical of me now. I had a man tell me last week, I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania. I'd only been to Erie twice. It had been 16 years since I'd been there. And a guy walked up to me and he said, "Dr. Hiles, you've done more for Erie, Pennsylvania than any man alive." And then he said this. He said, "There is not a neighborhood in America, Dr. Hiles, that has not been influenced by your ministry. I'm not saying that's necessarily true, but I'm saying to whatever degree it's true. It didn't come because I had talent or a winsome personality. It didn't come because I had an intellect. It came because I put forth more strength. My intellectual iron was blunt, so I put forth more strength. My physical iron was blunt, so I put forth more strength. And I'd like to praise my wonderful Savior today for what He can do with a little Texas boy in the ghettos. He can do something with you. But you say, "Preacher, I'm a nobody." Then put forth more strength. But you say, "Preacher, I'm at the bottom of the class grade-wise and I try hard." Then put forth more strength. What have you got to do? Do it. I've got to tell this story. It shouldn't be told. And you've heard it. Everybody here has heard it 100 times. But it fits in right now. It's a horrible closing story. I love it. It was down south. You've heard it. But it's funny every time I think about it. This black boy was walking across the graveyard. There was a grave that had been dug. It was open. He fell in it at midnight. Fell in the grave. Tried to get out. Couldn't. Tried again. Couldn't. Impossible. Screamed and hollered. Nobody heard him. Tried again to get out. Couldn't get out. Finally decided, "I can't get out. Maybe somebody will come by in the morning." He laid down. Went to sleep. Another black boy came by. He fell in the same grave on top of the first fellow. He tried to get out and couldn't. He jumped and jumped and failed. He tried again and couldn't. And tried again and couldn't. And finally the first fellow woke up and said, "Hey, buddy, no need to try. You can't get out of here." But he did. They said to me, "You can't be a paratrooper," but it did. They said, "You can't be a preacher," but it did. 30 years ago when I left Texas, they said to me, "You're crazy. Ain't nobody up there but Catholics in Chicago. Polacks. Catholics." They said, "You can't build a church up north. No way." I got up here, and a bunch of dead preachers came around. You did it in Texas, but you can't do it up north. But he did. He did. How? If the iron be blunt, then put forth more strength. Won't you decide today? That's me. That's me. I don't have the natural gifts. I'll put forth more strength. I don't have the talent. I'll put forth more strength. I don't have the looks. I'll put forth more strength. I don't have the intellect. I'll put forth more strength. My background is a background of poverty. Then put forth more strength. That's the secret. It's the great secret. For 30 years, I've known I did not have what others have. I'm not a suave preacher. I'm not an orator. I'm not a brilliant man. But I got as many hours in the day as R.G. Lee had. And my days are just as long as Lee Robertson's. My axe is not as sharp, but I put forth more strength. Why don't you say this morning, "I want to succeed. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." Say, how? Somebody say, "How?" "I don't know. I'm going to do it." "Well, you don't have what it takes." "I'll put forth more strength." And by the way, more folks fail for a lack of sweat than a lack of talent. What's the secret? No secret at all. What's the key? W-O-R-K. Work. If the iron be blunt, put forth more strength. This morning, I'd like to testify to that great truth. I put forth more strength. I'll say this one little line and close. As you know, I'm in a fight of my life right now. You say, how are you going to make it? I'm going to put forth more strength. I'm going to put forth more strength. Our Heavenly Father.